Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1992, Clint Eastwood directed and starred in an old Western-style movie entitled Unforgiven. In it, he played a ruthless killer by the name of William Money. After working with a young would-be gunslinger who had just killed his first man, Money says to this young man, who is noticeably distraught and upset over what he's just done, he says to him, "It's a hell of a thing killing a man. You take away everything he's got and everything he's ever going to have." And that right there is exactly how most people, and I would venture to say even a lot of Christian people, feel about death, isn't it? They feel that death takes away everything you've got and everything that you could ever possibly have. And thus, those people often fear death. And they avoid talking about and thinking about death as much as possible. But as we all know, you can only avoid it for so long. In the movie Moonstruck, the character played by Olympia Dukakis goes around asking people, why do men chase women? And then also, why would a man need more than one woman? Good questions. Then one day she finally gets the answer that she's looking for. Because they fear death. In the scriptures, St. Paul calls death the last enemy to be destroyed. And so it's no wonder the lengths that people will go to avoid it, to prevent it, or to delay it. Death is the great equalizer. And it strikes fear into almost everyone. For after all, it takes away everything we've got and everything we're ever going to have. And thus, the Thessalonian Christians were distraught over the fact that many of their brothers and sisters in the faith had died. Like the early disciples, these Christians in Thessalonica were no doubt expecting a speedy return of Jesus. You know, if you would have asked the 11 apostles just after Jesus ascended into heaven how long they had to fulfill the Great Commission before Jesus came back, I'm pretty sure they would have spoken in terms of months, maybe years. Not in terms of centuries and millennia. These early Christians lived with the urgency that Jesus could come back and would come back at any time and probably very soon. They fully expected Jesus' return to be within their lifetimes. And so they were confused and saddened and frightened. Because death had already come to some of their loved ones. And probably it looked like it was going to come for many more of them before Jesus came back. And consequently, they worried what that might mean for them and what that meant for their deceased loved ones. And so in our text today, Paul gives them words of encouragement to uplift them and inform them and fill them with hope and promise. He reminds them that though Jesus died, he did rise again. Yes, Jesus felt the sting of sin and death as he suffered to pay the punishment for our sins. But he also rose victorious over sin and death. And so it will be for all those who have died believing in Jesus. Paul stated this in 1 Corinthians 15. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. And Jesus said, as recorded by John, that even though he would go away into heaven to prepare a place for us, he would come back to take us to that place. And that's what Paul was telling the Thessalonian Christians about, that day of Christ's return and that day of our resurrection. And notice the order of things on that day. First, Jesus will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. You see, Paul here is echoing the words of Jesus from Matthew 25, where he said that he would one day return in all of his glory, with all of his angels with him, and all of the nations would be gathered before him. Then next, Paul says that the dead in Christ, those are the ones that the Thessalonian Christians were worried about, those of their community who had already died, they will rise first. Just as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 again. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. Paul finally goes on to say in our text today that after the dead believers have been raised from the dead and raised into the air, then the living saints of God, those to whom the sleep of death has not yet come, would then be caught up into the clouds together with those recently resurrected saints, and we would all meet the Lord in the air as one church, one people, one bride. And thus the writer to the Hebrews reminds us in chapter 11 that although all the great saints of God lived and walked by faith, they have not yet received the inheritance that had been promised to them. As it states in Hebrews 11, verse 40, God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And so it is that Paul comforts his readers and brings hope to the Thessalonian Christians by pointing them to the resurrection and the day of Christ's return, which is exactly what Jesus does also when he talks to Martha after the death of her brother Lazarus. Notice Jesus doesn't say to Martha, "Martha, don't worry. Lazarus is already in heaven enjoying the great banquet with God and looking down on you and smiling." No, Jesus says, and he points Martha to the resurrection, as he does also with his disciples, as it focuses their hope and their encouragement on the day and the event of his return. Jesus said in John 5, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." And thus, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to run from death. We don't need to deny or try to defy death. It cannot take away everything we've got or everything we'll ever have because of Jesus. He died and he rose for us so that we will now also most certainly rise from the death that all of us will most likely one day sleep in. That's the power of his forgiveness. And that is the promise of his resurrection. And therefore, comfort each other with these words. To God be the glory. Amen.